Welcome to Playwright, a podcast about creating and sharing new ways to play. My name is Ryan Heyman, also known as H, and my regular co-host with the hiccups now.
Yes.
Ryan Quintel.
Yeah, and you can call me Q for the sake of differentiation, but we have a third person with us today, don't
we're
we,
not H? Alone.
Tell us about this magical mystery person.
Yes, of course. This is Charlotte Kutz, who is in Germany at the moment. It's kind of cool, an international recording. Not that we've never done international shows before, but I believe this is the furthest away that anyone's been on Playwright at time of recording. So that's kind of fun. Charlotte is a member of the, I guess, European podcasting community. That seems really kind of oblique, but there are a few of us who kind of, you know, rub shoulders along the way, and I've enjoyed podcasting with her in the past. She's usually involved in a few different projects. What are you involved in at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing something super exciting, and I'm writing for Destructoid once a week.
Oh.
So I do...
Wow. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I do like a... tend to be like top seven style lists or just commentaries on a specific piece. Tends to be that rather than reviews. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that since October. Yeah, and I'm really enjoying it.
So now, does Destructoid run different content in Europe versus in the Americas? Because I know that Kotaku does.
Mm. No, it's fairly blended at the minute. There's a fair few of us. I mean, I'm originally from the UK, and there's a fair few of us who... are sort of UK based. I'm not really UK based, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And then there's those of us who are, those of the people who write for Destructoid who are in the US, and we all communicate and sort of blend together very, very nicely.
Sounds great. Well, we can look out for that once a week then. What we're here to do today is to pitch brand new video game ideas, things that people have never played before, may never play, but has an inkling of an interesting or unique concept in there. And let's see where it goes. Q, what do you have for us out of your wild mind today?
Since our last recording, time has been a little shorter than normal. And so I started leaning on my colleagues and talking about what ideas excite them and started coming around to this. I'm sure it's got to be some other game at this point, but it feels like it might be fresh to me.
And we can make it fresh.
We can make it fresh.
Exactly. We're going to take it in all different directions.
I'm trusting that Charlotte has got like, cloudy beers over there in Germany, and she's ready to freshen this thing up. A game where you are playing a co-op experience and you have one person or perhaps multiple people playing as spies, a la Mission Impossible, and then one person who is the control room nerd guy or gal. And you have the spies on the ground, which can identify and track targets, carry out mission objectives, but it's the tech person that has to help you track people via some sort of system, unlock doors, hack into systems. So one side maybe feels more like mini games and, interfaces, and you have to communicate back and forth a la the VR game, keep talking and nobody explodes. Yeah. That is the pitch, a sort of Mission Impossible-esque co-op spy game.
All right, and then we will give ourselves 10 minutes to talk about each idea and just kind of workshop it, see where we can take it, and sometimes even take it in entirely different directions that we didn't expect before. So let's go ahead and start the clock. The first thing this makes me think of is there was a game being shown, I believe. Ooh, was it a part of the Fable universe? I don't think it was ever released, but it was an early Xbox One reveal. And I think it was Fable branded, but there were three players that played as adventurers, and then one player that was kind of a dungeon master. who had a different perspective. There's also multiplayer modes in, I believe, Rainbow Six games or some of those other type shootery type of games where one person plays as somebody who has kind of a view of the entire battlefield, and then the players are going in and trying to overtake bases and stuff like that. And the person can give them instructions on where enemies are and stuff like that. So this kind of, I would say, asynchronous, because that usually applies to when people are doing things at different times, but this kind of asynchronous style of play, but all simultaneously happening, like you would get on some of those real clever Wii U games as well.
I'm just thinking, what would the, so I presume you meant that there would be like hacking mini games. Like, what would that look like? Because the thing that pops into my head when I think hacking mini games is that Sly, I forget what it is, the Sly.
Sly Cooper
for the PS3 one, PS3, PS Vita one. Yeah. I was just wondering what those
Thieves in Time. Yeah. I believe. Yeah.
Wondering what like the hacking minigames would how they would resemble for a queue. What would you?
I actually feel like I've gotten a couple good and fresh takes on hacking minigames in 2017 with Nier and Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. The most recent Wolfenstein actually had a kind of fun, weird, like punch card feeling little unlock system there. So what I really like is this idea of, let's even say it's the BioShock, like connecting the tube and circuits and you're on a timer or whatever.
I love that. So
yeah, cool. That's really fun.
There's a really cool version of that in Watch Dogs 2 where you have to, it's kind of like a pipe dream type of setup, but you have to kind of connect using rotating like junction points.
You have to
connect circuits and stuff. But the thing is that they're all over the world around you. They're supposed to be kind of like the wires running through the walls. And so oftentimes you would have to use your drone to fly around and look through the walls to see them. Or sometimes you would have to yourself run around the world and trigger these different things, get different vantage points and trace these circuit lines throughout the world. So something like that, something like Gunpoint is kind of a similar thing, but on a 2D plane. So I could see something like that working.
Yeah, it's this interesting thing where I feel like in any sort of, let's say the, you know, one person playing that on the ground experience feels more like Hitman or something. There is this moment that happens, especially in Mission Impossible movies, where, you know, the person is like hitting the button to the elevator or like going to use a fingerprint reader or like a retinal scanner. And they're like, I hope this works by the time I go to use it, because everything has to happen just right. And so the idea of having that sort of over the air chatter between the spy and the tech person, being like, okay, I'm being chased, I need to get into this room, can you get me in? And having that person having to do it in real time, instead of like, because of the way games are formatted, they always have to cut away to a mini game and at most give you like a timer or something to fail and keep retrying. But I like that being a sort of separated out experience.
I really kind of like the idea of having one person in the control room and then possibly like five or six different spies. So it's not necessarily local co-op, because then that reminds me more of like a time management game. And I really, really love time management games.
Yeah.
So it oddly enough, that reminds me of all those games I used to play as a kid, like Dyna Dash, where it was all about like timing things down to the microsecond to make sure you didn't fail. And I like... It would bring different elements in. If you were playing local with just one other person, then it would be more about the communication. But if it was like online with six different spies, that would be bring a different element to it.
What if we also like pulled in some elements of the Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes game and actually make it so that maybe it's the spies, like every time they go to play a level, these security systems for different rooms are randomized from, a set of them. And so really the tech person doesn't know what they're going to have to hack or like the way they're going to have to hack it until the spy can be like, oh, it looks like it's this type of thing. It's got a red button on the right hand side of it, like, so there's that aspect of, one person is the eyes, right, still, and having that discovery phase, and the other person has to sort of react to and guess at what's going on.
Having restricted information. There's a game called Republic that was originally put out on iOS, I believe, but eventually came to PS4 and Steam, at least, maybe other platforms. It's a stealth game, kind of like a Metal Gear Solid, except you're not playing the main character, you're playing the person that's advising them where to go. And so you can tap a location in the environment and you can advise her to move there, but it's still her making her own decisions and, you know, just kind of relying on you. But you can interact with things in the environment. You can lock doors, you can turn off lights and stuff, kind of like in Watch Dogs again. But the clever thing about it, also like Watch Dogs, is that you're kind of confined to security cameras that you can move in between because you're a hacker that's not there in the environment. And so having those restrictions in what you can see and where you can be at any given time would be really helpful. And it would also kind of, you would probably have like a paper map of the environment, so you kind of know the overall shape of where this, of what the building looks like, but maybe you can yourself take notes on where things are, and as you're zipping between cameras and trying to help out all of your friends and trying to manage between the three of them, you know, where do I need to be at any given time and what's the best way to get there and how do I keep an eye on all of the guards? Almost like Five Nights at Freddy's, like trying to keep track of where is this enemy between my multiple cameras at any given point in time. There are blind spots that you might lose them in. There are, you know, you just have to keep a good awareness of your environment.
I just had a very quick idea. I don't know why, but my brain jumped to Let It Die and the whole idea of like trying to get as far up a tower as possible with all of these threats getting harder and harder and harder. And I was just thinking that maybe the threat, instead of being like all these monsters, would just be the security system. And the goal is to try and cooperate, to try and get as far up this, I don't know, Nakatomi Plaza style building as quickly as possible and get as far as you can, kind of thing.
That's really cool, as kind of like introducing that roguelike sort of gameplay aspect to it. I wonder, because one of my favorite, I'm always so inspired by like how movies set up these fictional worlds and then it seems impossible to pull off. But I wonder, one of my favorite parts of The Matrix was that scene where Neo's on the phone with Morpheus, right? And he's telling him exactly when to, you know, jump, you know, turn left and goes forward and wait 3 seconds and all that sort of stuff. And Destiny 2 has some of that stuff in its raid where one person kind of has to look, be up at the top and observe while they direct the group of people who are on the ground. And I think that that would be really cool if you're racing to finish this plaza or whatever, that there's that timing aspect of it too, where I'm looking through a security camera and I go, okay, I know this guy's making his rounds and he's going to be on the right hand side. So you're going to go left in 3, 2, 1. Same way we have to count down to sync a podcast, for God's sake.
It'd be interesting as if you had to choose when to exit the tower. Is that if you keep on going until you're all dead, then you lose all of your rewards. But you can choose at any time to take either the elevator back down or to jump out of a window and glide away. And so that way you kind of cash out your prizes, your money that you've acquired to that point. And then also maybe you're sharing your total takeaway between however many people are left. And so you're always kind of suspecting that your friends might be ready to betray you and shoot you when they're ready to cash out. Or if you cash out and they keep going, then they're only sharing the remaining floor's profit between the two of them. And you have to settle for a lesser amount. But at the same time, maybe they'll get killed and you're safe with yours. You've banked it. So, yeah, that could be a fun addition.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
H, you love betrayal.
yeah. Like those mind games. Anyways, we're out of time on that one. We have to give that one a name. Q, do you come in with a name for that game?
I don't, but I love Charlotte's Nakatomi Plaza idea. So maybe we can get some other gibberish name for a plaza that we could put in there.
Or tower is a good way, because that it gives the idea of ascension as well. Plaza, I always think of as like the flat portion.
That's true. Yeah, let's do something tower.
We could do like a tower of cameras or heist tower.
Collaborate tower is really bad. Conspire?
Yeah, because like a like a spire. That's also like a word for...
If we just called it conspire and spelled it S-P-Y.
And the S could have be like, it could be con and then capital S spire.
It's all the things. It's a spire. It's a spy. It's a con.
A spire is a tapering structure built on a roof or tower. So it's not a million miles off. It's like a church spire.
I mean, maybe then that's the whole thing. You're trying to get to the spire.
Yeah, yeah. You're robbing the world's largest church. Anyways, conspire. I like that. Let's go over to our guest, Charlotte. What kind of game do you have for us today?
So my idea for the game is based on the fact that I love the idea of dance games, but I can't really play them because my knees are quite bad. So I notice whenever I play something like Just Dance, it's like pushing me to throw shapes that I'm not very comfortable with. And generally, I'm just not a good dancer. So my idea for a game was like a cross between a rhythm game and a traditional dance game, where instead of having to throw specific shapes, instead you have to hit dots that appear on the screen, or like showers of shapes that appear on the screen, or even on the very, very easy modes, you just have to sort of move your body into like a certain region on the screen. And music's playing like in a licensed music, like in Just Dance. And the screen is sort of like deducts points if you stop moving, but there's no pressure to like throw specific moves except perhaps in the harder difficulties. Generally, it's just a game that I would market as a dancing game for people who are probably not that good at dancing. So I'm like more of a like Just Dance is a casual dance game, but I still feel like there's an idea that you have to be able to throw the shapes that are on the screen. So yeah, so sort of like a rhythm dance game, sort of with like dots appearing, a bit like how in the Hatsune Miku rhythm games, how they appear across the screen. It would kind of be like that. Yeah, so that's my starting point for my pitch.
Let's start the clock then. A couple of reference points here. There's a couple of VR rhythm games. I believe Audio Shield is one of them, and I'll have to look up the others, where you are, instead of dancing, you've got a bunch of dots coming towards you that correspond with music, and then you're using your VR motion controllers as like shields to block them or to hit them back.
Oh,
and
interesting.
So that's one way to kind of give an alternate view of rhythm dancing type of games. And also there's this is a long story, but I back in high school, there was one time where I got a bunch of friends together and we all pitched in like, you know, $5 or something really minimal, and just went out to GameStop to just find the cheapest Wii games that we could find. And we ended up coming home with some sort of a National Geographic like Arctic Adventure game, as well as High School Musical 3 Dance.
Oh God, my sister had that game. Oh God.
This is a real game?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. I was actually kind of impressed by the way it works is that there's two kind of radial shapes on either side of the screen. They almost look like the health bars from GoldenEye. They have like a upper, middle, and lower quadrant points that like dots and then move towards, kind of like the Hatsune Miku or the Persona dancing games. As they reach that point, that signifies that you either have to move your Wiimote or nunchuck up like you're flipping eggs in a frying pan, to the side like you're throwing it out sideways, or downwards like you're hammering a nail. And we actually found that, you know, that even though it's not, you know, approximating real dancing, was engaging enough a way to play through those very silly songs, and actually had a lot more fun with that than I expected that I would.
Now, H, I can't believe you didn't reference the first thing I thought you were going to talk about, which is Fantasia Music Evolved.
Oh yes, good point.
This was
that's a Rock Band like game, also produced by Harmonix, but it's set up for the Kinect, which has you subbing in for the composer, not the composer, but rather the conductor of a symphony instead of a musician like you would in Rock Band. But it's a lot of swinging of the arms and stuff like that. I believe Child of Eden was also kind of a similar idea back on the PS3 and Xbox 360. But yeah, let's see if we can take this in a different direction and see where we can evolve into untrodden territory.
I like the idea of a game to to some of what Charlotte was saying, is a dancing game for being kind of rubbish at dancing, right? So I think that while some people are kind of bad at dancing, maybe a dancing game that could actually help and guide you into learning how to just kind of move or sway your body to the beat of something. And so if there were maybe, you know, it's hard to not think of Kinect and those type of accessories to like track you in some way when you're doing this. But if there were like bars kind of a little bit to the left and right of my silhouette, or like in this virtual space where I just have to kind of sway and make sure like my hips or my arms are hitting them at any given point. And then you could maybe even bring in some, I don't know if you guys have played Thumper.
No.
Thumper kind of has, it is kind of a music rhythm game that has just kind of moments where you're supposed to throw yourself to the left or right.
Using a controller, you're not actually, it's not a motion controlled one.
Yeah, that's true. And kind of as long as you're on the correct side when the, well, it's a turn in Thumper, but in when the note or the beat hits, you kind of get credit for it. So it may be a dancing or rhythm game that actually is like teaching you the fundamentals of like moving your body to the left and right in time with music.
Yeah.
You know what I'd be really interested in is, I don't know exactly how this would work, but utilizing the different capabilities of the Switch's Joy-Con controllers is maybe like trying to find certain rhythms in your environment somewhere. And I guess there's not a lot looking around my home that is moving, but like if there was something with repetitive movement, like a washing machine, trying to find, it gives me like a certain rhythm that I have to find something that I can put the Joy-Con on top of that does that rhythm over and over again, or point the Joy-Con camera at a flashing light that is in that rhythm. Or, you know, maybe it just, I have to make those own rhythms with my own hands and arms, and you have to find some sort of a creative way to invoke those rhythms in the real world and kind of in different ways. It would request different things of me, almost like a Bop It would give you different, like you use the camera, use the buttons, use the motion to do these complex series of rhythms.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
What if we take something like that and, okay, hear me out. Now we have the Switch. We're talking about Switch. We can use HD Rumble to probably approximate something like auxiliary percussion, like a shaker or a tambourine.
Mm-hmm.
And so now kind of you are a little bit more, your hands and wrists can move to the beat and kind of do the more fine dancing work where like your offhand or something is just for the sort of dancing motions, and it can be a little bit more general and forgiving. Whereas like, as long as you're hitting the beats with your tambourine or your maraca or whatever, God, now you can actually play the cowbell in a game, which I would really, really enjoy.
There's a lot of dances that are very like wrist oriented, like belly dances have a lot of wrist movement and very precise kind of like hand stuff going on.
To be honest, hearing that description just makes me want to have a Switch version of Samba de Amigo.
That's probably not too far off. I think there are rumors, at least, of something like that happening.
I mean, like, I never played it, and I also never played any of the Donkey Kong bongo games, but I always really wanted to have them, so that would be an excuse.
Yeah, yeah, there's that Taiko Drum Master that's big in Japan as well, but I've never played it. I don't really know what that one entails.
Let me ask you this, Charlotte. Do you see as this game is potentially like your typical going through a list of popular tracks, or do you see it more like experimental where your movements and your body can like create rhythms and sounds that you're just figuring out how to combine with each other? So it's a little less structured game points and a little bit more like physical music lab.
In my head, it was more the first one, but I could see it being a combination of both. I mean, my starting point when I imagine this game would be that it would be something that people who have injuries or problems with their joints, like me, could play. And like, for example, with Just Dance, there was that the Rasputin dance where it actually encourages you to do a Cossack dance. And I was like, oh my God, my knees are going to die. But this is more like just encouraging you to find your own movements, but you just have to hit these certain points. But with the more like harder difficulties, it could definitely progress into something where it's more like some really experimental tracks, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of really experimental artists, but like Björk, for example, could be some of her tracks. And then it does progress into more of like a sound lab sort of.
No, Björk, sort of game. she would release her next album as this game, right? Like, that's
true.
I've been really into games that are about creation of music. Q mentioned previously, the Fantasia Music Evolved. Rock Band 4 has freestyle guitar solos. Rock Band VR has a lot of freedom in allowing you to change the way that the music sounds, or even harmonixes. These are all harmonix examples because they're kind of the ones that are blazing the trail for this more than anyone else. But harmonix's card game, Drop Mix, has aspects of mixing elements of different songs and stuff. And so I could see something like this where you are using motion controls to kind of play different instruments. And this is sounding dangerously close to Wii music. But, you know, if you give harmonix something like this and they tell you, you know, this is the bass song that you're playing over, why don't you tap out a drum beat and it can kind of match your motions to a loop that can play over the song, and it can kind of understand the rhythmic structure and do little flourishes as well. You can strum out a guitar piece, and you can, you know, it's all about just finding the rhythms in these different pieces and, maybe even choreographing a dance or something like that. But there's a lot of different instruments that could be simulated by motion controls.
And I'm getting this idea of like, this is reminding me of Parappa the Rapper in a way, in that maybe like the more you freestyle and diverge into the more points you get. That could be an idea.
Being able to check if you're on the beat, that's not the hardest thing to program. And so I could definitely see that coming into this as well. We're all out of time on that one. We have to now come up with a name. Shawa, did you come in with a name in mind, or should we all try to create one together?
Had a few ideas, but none of them were particularly good.
that's okay.
I would love to have something that sounds like it you know, is accessible, you know, like rhythm for everyone or rhythm for all. You know?
Everybody's rhythm sounds too much like everybody's golf, but...
Oh, that's not bad, offshoot. Though.
I mean, really... Wii music does fit that category, but
what if you do beat builders? Is that weird?
Beat builders, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty cool.
All right, let's just go with beat builders. That's a nice communal sound to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too intimidating.
Right, because you can share your sick beats that you make, right. And you can drop beats.
Okay, Ryan. We understand that you're very hip.
Down with the kids.
I'm very hip, you guys. You don't even know.
We're going over now to our community. This is a submission to our website. And if you would like to submit one of your own, you can do that at playwrightcast.com, or you can email us playwrightcast@gmail.com. We've got probably three or four more of these left. And so if you email in now or post on our website now, then it will be read fairly soon. We're running a little bit low. And so you guys are always good at filling our inbox back up whenever we're getting low. But just to put that call out now, because it'll be gone before you know it. Anyways, this comes from Jason SC, who says, "Happy New Year, H&Q. Thank you very much. Here's a quick pitch for you, a Papers, Please type poker game. So the main gameplay would be like a typical poker game with several AI players. But between the hands, you would be given narrative choices, like a crime organization suggests that you lose the next game or else. You could also borrow money from bookies, but if you fail to pay them back, you'll risk losing all your money or worse. And other AI players could be set up as targets, similar to the film Casino Royale, where Bond is to force a criminal to lose all their money. Just like Papers, Please, there would be a daily cycle where after several games, the day ends and your character has to pay for groceries, rent, and other necessities, but your health will go down if you're low on money and can't afford some of the necessities, or if you're beaten up. Obviously, the stakes would be higher if the game went in the spy direction. All right, so let's start the clock.
I feel like there should definitely be in the counter at the end where it says all of your expenses, there should be familial expenses involved so that it just adds the thumb screws that you're here playing poker and your family is in the background trying to feed themselves. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be a level of guilt as to, oh my God, why am I even playing poker?
I'd be interested if there was some level of like a Telltale type of adventure game where these are different, or these are kind of a rotating maybe cast of characters that are coming in and out of this casino, this kind of seedy, maybe a Prohibition era casino throughout the days or weeks or months that you're playing it. And they all have evolving storylines and, you know, maybe they find themselves in a really bad spot sometimes. So it's good to throw a hand to give them the money that they need to pay for an operation or something, or if they're in trouble with a loan shark or something like that. And so you make these narrative decisions based on how you play the game, but it also is a little bit luck-based, like every round of poker is. And so something a little bit more like what is it called? Poker Night at the Inventory that Telltale put out, but more story based.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting to have this idea of because when I would think of a poker game, I would think I'd want to win at all costs. So the idea that you might actually want to help out your fellow players so that they don't stab you in the back later, or just because you want to play your character as a nice character, that sounds pretty cool.
I mean, I hate to keep bringing in movie references. This is like the most I've ever done, but Casino Royale is a fantastic movie. And the idea of being able to have those James Bondy moments, James Bondy, new adjective, mark it in the calendar. Those James Bond like moments that, you know, maybe you did get in trouble with an organization and you're playing a hand like poisoned, essentially, right? And maybe you can't see your card straight. And so like things from the narrative are affecting your ability to play the poker game, or you're nervous, or you learn things about characters and that gives away a tell about them. And so you learn to understand when your opponents are bluffing.
Yeah, as you have conversations with people in between hands, you know, you can talk to them, you can maybe even go and have dinner with them somewhere, and you can kind of learn more about their tells and about their life situation, kind of give some context to what you're playing. Maybe you can even like gift them a pair of glasses that you can see the reflection of their cards in. Yeah. As a way of like sabotaging certain players.
I like that. Take these mirror shades there. They look great on you.
Yeah, you know, you could sell it as like, you know, all the good poker players wear these dark sunglasses so people don't know when they're bluffing, but really this is a rather reflective pair.
One idea I just thought of is that one of the plot points could be that you're part of a association, a criminal association perhaps, and you have to make sure another person on the table wins and not you, but you can't like throw the game, obviously, because then people will realize you're in cahoots kind of thing. So you're trying to, without being able to see their cards necessarily, trying to influence the game so that they win without making it obvious. Don't know how that would perhaps work. I'm not the most knowledgeable about how poker works, but that would be kind of cool if you were actually trying not to win.
You're kind of hustling people. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like, I imagine maybe there's some way throughout this narrative to figure out potentially what cards an opponent has, or come to an agreement with them off of the table. And then also, like, one of the things I love in any sort of adventure game is the idea of like finding collectibles. And so what if you're finding like cards in the environment and you can actually have cards up your sleeve, right? So like by finding these things, you're like, okay, well, I know I got this ace and I know I've got this queen and that's going to help me get this this great hand. And you have to choose whether or not you're going to cheat in those moments.
And it could be that if you cheat, it involves I like quick time events, so maybe it would be like a quick time event sort of scenario. And if you fail the quick time, you end up in a narrative with somebody who's catching you cheating. And then you have to pick your options really carefully so that you don't get into a massive confrontation about it and they sort of let the issue drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What horror? There was a horror game. I don't know if it was Alien Isolation or what, but it was a horror game where you had to like physically hold your controller still.
Until dawn.
Until dawn. That was it. I loved that mechanic. And just imagine, like, okay, you go to bluff or you go to play a hand or cheat in this moment, and people at the table are staring you down. And to like hold your bluff, you have to like remain calm and still and icy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not actually aware of that many games that use that mechanic again. So that would be a really cool way to use it.
Yeah. Especially for a poker type game. This could, again, work really well in VR to see people's tells really closely and to have that really precise motion control as to how you hold your cards and what kind of affectations you give off. Mm. It'd be interesting to go in to have like a stable of like six characters that you can choose to play as the entire story from their perspective. And then as you play again and again, you get the different perspectives and learn different things about the stories. You learn about their own home life, and that kind of recontextualizes how you read their actions in further playthroughs and sometimes the sympathy you have for those characters. So, kind of like a Nier Automata where you're learning things in different playthroughs, or like a Vagrant Story where there's a lot of stories to tell that you're kind of going between.
In my head, I'm just thinking about how in L.A. Noire, all of the facial expressions were just so spot on, even in the PS3 version, not even the remastered version. Mm-hmm. So it'd be really cool if there was some sort of that really realistic, not necessarily a Telltale style cartoony, semi-realistic, but like a really like L.A. Noire style, really exact facial expression. So you can really see like whether people are bluffing or whether maybe some of the characters are programmed to be worse liars than others and their tells are more obvious than others.
Yeah, that's really cool. And especially if you are interacting with them off of the, you know, outside of the game, and you actually see them as opposed to like, you know, getting unlocked. I understand how this person lies. It's more subtle. It's more seeing how they talk about themselves and their life and what their expressions are during those things, and kind of trying to map that to what they're saying and doing inside the game. I also like that, what you were saying, H, about like imagine playing this game from one perspective, manipulating other people at the table, and then like playing it from their perspective and learning how horrible it was that you manipulated that person in a particular way. Like, ooh, I probably shouldn't have pushed that parent angle because now I've learned the backstory of each one of these characters, and that was actually really awful.
Having those dialogue prompts during the game to be able to kind of get under people's skin, or even to create light conversation during the game. That was what was so fun about that Poker Night at the Inventory, those two games that Telltale put out. They were very lighthearted, and it was mostly just the characters that were pulled from different games like Portal and Sam & Max that would just talk freely and tell jokes and stuff in between hands. And like that just makes it a lot more engaging, I thought, than just playing poker against kind of a faceless CPU opponent.
Yeah, I think so. I think the crux of this, of nailing it, feels like it's going to make each person at the table feel real. And whether that's through being able to play each of those people at different runs or have a story that interweaves throughout all their lives, like as you play linearly through that, then you're actually learning about what triggers other people. And then you take that back to you on the table of like, okay, I played this character already. I know that they have issues with X, Y, and Z, and the ability to, you know, kind of call them out or call their bluff on it as you play the next character, because you're kind of learning how to not just read your opponents, but deeply understand them, right?
I think a really cool way to end this game would be to, once you've played through everyone's story, you get like one final story that is somebody that's external to the game somehow. but somebody who is the puppet master, so to speak, kind of using all of these characters against each other and putting a lot of these plot machinations into order. Mm-hmm. But the way that it would do it, and I don't have this fully planned out in my mind or anything, but I'm sure that a clever enough writer could find a way to do it, but is to incorporate a lot of the poker mechanics that you use throughout the game to kind of orchestrate a lot of these life events that are driving the narratives for all these characters. And, you know, being able to, because poker's a lot about negotiation, knowing when to use your hand and knowing when to hold. And, you know, I could see that being, you know, stepping back from the poker table and learning what you've, using what you've learned, almost like those moments in The Witness when you realize that you can use what you learned in the puzzles to interact with the world around you. And that could be a really cool kind of final moment for this game.
I'm just thinking for a vague setting for it, it could be like an illegal poker game being held in a pub or in the back rooms of a bar. And then the all the different patrons in the pub from a variety of different backgrounds are the ones who are playing. And then the external character could be the landlord / owner of the bar who's set up this illegal poker game for their own ends and is orchestrating everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'd be great in that kind of prohibition setting as well. Like, I love those period piece type games. But anyways, we are out of time on that one. It turned out to be a really fun idea. Jason comes in with the title. He says, "Deal Me In," which I think fits with where we ended up going with that. So I'm happy to keep that title. Thank you very much, Jason Esty, for giving us that that pitch to play around with. Of course, we are not the final word on that. So if you, Jason, or if you, the community, have anything more to add to that, then we encourage you to get in contact with us on our Twitter, PlaywrightCast, or you know, you can comment on any of our previous episodes on our website, PlaywrightCast.com, or just kind of keep the conversation going. We would love to hear if you have an entirely different way that you would like to take any of our ideas, then, you know, just drop us an email or something. We'd love to read about that and continue the growth of these ideas. And of course, as we mentioned, I think in episode one, and haven't really mentioned it since, all of the ideas that we read on the show, we're not trademarking, we're not copywriting anything. And so if you are a game designer and anything in here inspires you at all, then feel free to use any of these ideas. You can copy them verbatim, or you can take them in entirely different directions. You know, we're just here to kind of keep the conversation going and to get more creative video games out there. And so, you know, feel free to utilize in whatever way you want. Anybody out there, any of these ideas are entirely up for grabs.
I was going to make the joke, unless you work at EA, but I think EA could use some of these pitches more than ever before. So please, EA employees, take a listen and take something from the show. Hey, you know what I'd like to do when I'm reading all of our users' write-ins and comments, H? I love to listen to our theme song, Hello World, by Proto Dome from the album Blue Noise. It's very good, and you should go take a listen to it.
Very good. And of course, thank you to our guest, Shawmut Cutts, for joining us today. You mentioned your Destructoid pieces at the top of the show. Is there anything else that you would like to draw our listeners' attention to while you're here?
Not in particular. I mean, I'm trying to, 2018 for me is going to be the big year when I do lots of podcasting, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So you might hear me on a few other podcasts here and there. But aside from that, you can just find me usually every Saturday or Sunday. I write something for Destructoid. And also I'm on Twitter at C-Cuts Games.
Cool. And that is spelled with two T's.
Yes, it is. I had to think for a moment then about my own surname, but... It's not that late here in Germany, but it is considerably later on in the day than it is where you are based.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you everyone for listening. Q, why don't you take us out with a little miniature idea to chew on throughout the week?
I just want a narrative Telltale adventure game where you play as Alan Partridge.
Okay, cool. We'll see you next week.
Bye.